Well, it's great news this morning. Air Canada gradually going to begin operations today, getting flights back up in the air. I don't know how quickly that'll happen, but yes, the Flight Attendants Union says members must fully cooperate with resumption of operations. Both sides seem to have met with a federal mediator overnight and on strike as of Saturday, but looks like things are starting to clear up, which is good breaking news here this morning. And later, under this heat warning, 33 degrees today, there will be Mayor Chad Baczynski and a few dignitaries turning over sod as the sod turning ceremony to kick off the building of the new aquatic center. That's at 10 on the sports field beside the Sportsplex. It's taken a long haul to get us to this point, so that is one sod turning that I'm thankful to see happening. It's going to be a while, of course. This fall, they're really going to crank up. The Lawson will remain open, although because of maintenance right now on the pool, that remains closed. Just a heads up there till September 28th. But that is why the Wascana Park pool will stay open till then, too. All the outdoor pools are open today, thankfully, for this heat wave. But anyhow, that sod turning is probably on the minds of my next guest here, Rick Beattie from the Queen City Pickleball Hub, who is here to chat about how the sport is, A, growing in Regina, but the courts are limited, right? He wouldn't mind if the city provided a little more funding for some new facilities. Rick feeling a little slighted, in fact, when recent funding for courts was axed to pay for the uptick in the price of the aquatic center. And Rick, I thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
First and foremost, I just want to know about pickleball. Like, how have you seen the sport growing?
It's the fastest growing sport in North America. And I took up the sport about 5 years ago, and I've seen an increase in players that has just grown unbelievably in those 5 years. I play primarily at the Queen City Pickleball Hub, which is located in the Havana Center in Rio. We keep track of the number of people that come through the doors, and we've had approximately 5,500 people in the last couple of years. Large number of them have continued to play. Doesn't just involve old people like what a lot of people think, that pickleball's for an old people's game. We have lots of young people playing the game as well. I think my favorite story is that I did a lesson with a family a couple of years ago, and his son was 14 years old, and he was reluctant to be there, didn't really feel as though pickleball was the thing to do. But when I told him that Connor Bedard regularly played pickleball at the Hub, it changed his whole perspective. And his mom called me the next day and said, "That's the best thing you could have said. He wants to play pickleball full time now." So,
well, if Connor Bedard loves it, I love it. That's a pretty cool story. You're feeling, though, that you've outgrown the Queen City Pickleball Hub there?
It's not that we've outgrown. I think that we've got a lot of people that are playing there. It just needs to be that we have something in place that's going to secure a spot for us to play. It's great to play pickleball outdoors. Lots of people love playing pickleball outdoors, but we have such a short season here in Regina. We have a couple of really nice facilities outdoor that are dedicated pickleball courts. 12 courts at Douglas Park, 6 at Mahon Arena, and they're fantastic.
You're asking the city for a little more help here, though. Like, you're right, those outdoor courts are marvelous, and they were added because of the growing demand for this sport. But what more could the city do?
Well, you know, in terms of the outdoor courts, they had allocated an additional $1.4 million for an expansion of the courts at Douglas Park. And with the increased expenses for the new pool, they have now taken that 1.4 away from pickleball and a number of other options that they had to spend the money on. But we also have an increasing need for indoor facility for pickleball because it's primarily played indoors in 8 months of the year. We need something that could be in place to assist with providing those kinds of courts. Now, the Queen City Pickleball Hub is a privately owned facility. The owner, Phil Greenwood and Ray Greenwood, they lease the space from Real, but those costs are going up as well and making it prohibitive for them to continue to provide pickleball in that facility because the costs are going to go up to a place where they are not sure they can afford to continue to do that.
I love the idea of expanding, and no doubt about it. Rick Beattie's my guest from Queen City Pickleball Hub. The fact is, the city is looking for ways to save money, and they did that here in this instance because of the Aquatic Center. Do you really think the city is going to be able to help you at this time, or would it not be better for you internally to look for another warehouse and perhaps through charging expand on your own with your business partners?
Well, yeah, that's certainly an option, and it may well come to that. And there has been some discussion, I think, around some other possibilities. But finding a facility is not cheap, and it's difficult to find something that could house pickleball, because you need a fairly large area, and it has to be the right height. So finding the proper facility is difficult, but some of those possibilities are out there, and maybe some partnerships that don't have to do with the city might be the option. Options to go. But at this point,
you got to ask, is what you're saying, right?
Oh, most certainly. And I think that the city is taking on the responsibility of meeting the needs of people who are in that aquatic sort of area. They need to look at some other things as well. And pickleball, as the fastest growing sport, is meeting the needs of an awful lot of people. So maybe they can take a look at something that will assist all of those folks as well.
Rick, I just thought of something. Maybe you got to recreate and evolve pickleball. Maybe it's in the water. You stand and you play above water. What do you think?
Yeah, if we could stand above water, that would be great.
Move into the aquatic center when it's built. Rick, interesting plight. And thanks so much, Rick, for being here this morning and enlightening us about pickleball.
Well, you're very welcome. Look forward to seeing you and everyone else down at the Queen City Pickleball Hub.
Oh, there's a lot of sunshine and heat today. Heat advisory, 33 for a high today. If you're taking your little ones to experience the first bus ride, they're doing that on the southeast parking lot of the Conexus Heart Center. Both Catholic schools and Regina Public Schools presenting that program 2 o'clock this afternoon. And at 5:30, there is a registration process about a half hour before it. But Kevin Martell joining me now from the 980 CJME.
Maybe today we'll actually hit 30-degree mark. We were supposed to get there yesterday.
Oh, yeah. So, did you want to talk about that? We weren't planning on that. But, yes, I was absent yesterday, Kevin, and you blew it. On behalf of Dahar Hair Restoration and Windsor Plywood, the weather guarantee jackpot of, $150 you left me?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was more than that, wasn't it?
125, 150, somewhere
150.
In there.
Oh, no, pardon me. That's my mistake. Yeah, $150. Jerry Hack is pleased that you blew it.
Yeah.
Jerry, thanks for listening and registering. You've won $150. We'll be cutting you a check.
We were so certain.
So I got to start over. I'll reveal my next contestant in a few minutes. But yeah, I wasn't going to go there, Kev. Blame you like that, but okay, fine. This heat, though, you need to slip on a hat. No, slip on a T-shirt. Slap on some sunscreen. What's the other one? What am I missing here? Come on. You were
slip,
a kid once.
Slap, and I'm going to guess another S word.
Slip on a shirt, slap on some sunscreen, slap on a hat.
There you go.
Okay. All right. But yeah, this is going to be a hot one today and tomorrow. Look, Kevin, this breaking news this morning, it's fascinating to me how quickly it's happened, but the Air Canada strike, it's over?
Well, that's exactly what I thought, too. So we got in, and some point overnight, Air Canada and the union representing these 10,000 flight attendants all of a sudden seemed to come together enough that there is now a tentative agreement set. Of course, we don't have the details of this, and it doesn't mean that this is obviously set in stone. More often than not, when you have a tentative agreement, usually the membership will ratify that and everything will be okay. Not always, though.
Yeah.
But for now, it seems like Air Canada is beginning to ramp up operations again. Now, it doesn't obviously mean that they're going to be able to do that in quick order. We're seeing at YQR this morning, there still are a number of cancellations for Air Canada flights. So it could take, Air Canada is estimating anywhere up to a week to get things back running as per normal.
You know, yesterday, as you were busy giving away my weather jackpot, we were in Calgary. We had driven there and met some friends who flew in from Kelowna, and we took them to the airport of Calgary. And there were hundreds of Air Canada employees picketing outside the airport. And our friends later texted and said inside it was just mass chaos at the Calgary airport at the WestJet area because so many people were lined up trying to get their flights in order. So maybe not quite as chaotic today. So that's some good news.
And
there.
Also important to note here as well, the Flight Attendants Union, it says members must fully cooperate with resumption of operations because that was a big sticking point yesterday. The union said.
So you're saying there's a chance it may not if they didn't want to.
Well, what they're saying is that, because remember yesterday we heard from the head of the national president of QP, and he said that he would be willing to go to jail
right, yeah.
And a fine, but it looks like they will direct their union membership to, again, help in this and not continue picketing.
Okay, Kevin Martell. And look who has his ticket back to the House of Commons.
Pierre, hurry up, Pierre Poilievre. He's back. I don't think this was really a big surprise. Alberta by-election last night.
How much did he win the vote by? Did
well,
you hear?
At one point he was leading by like he had like 80% of the vote.
Oh, okay.
So it was pretty signed, sealed, delivered. So yes, after losing his Ottawa seat in this past April's federal election, he'll be back.
Okay. All right. And Kevin, I'm only joking about you blowing the weather guarantee. That can happen to me too. Many times it has. But
it's not my money. It's your money.
But a lottery reminder from Kevin Martell.
$75 million for tonight's jackpot.
I'm getting a Lotto Max ticket. You bet, baby. It's 6:58. A lot of parents and students getting ready to go back to school a couple of weeks from today. Oh, my goodness. Summer seems to have just flown by. I think we've all been complaining as of late the last few months, too, that it really hasn't felt enough like summer. The days that it was hot, there was so much haze, you didn't enjoy it. Odd day was too windy, too soggy. Here we are in a heat wave, though, now. 33 for a high today, and yesterday was warm. Tomorrow's going to be hot, so a sense of summer for the next couple of days as you go back to school shopping. A lot of extracurricular activities going to come with the return to school. And if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. But there are some parents already hustling their kids around. For instance, hockey camps are getting underway this week. Some have already started here in the last few weeks, but some of the major ones now over at the Cooperator Center. I know the Doug Parker conditioning camp is set to start at the Cooperator Center. So you got a lot of parents with kids in hockey. Okay. Where are your skates? Do they still fit? What? We got to go buy new skates? You know, there's a lot of extracurricular planning going on right now as Hockey Regina, also reminding you, I spoke with Amanda Hungle recently, executive director of Hockey Regina. Reminder, registration, it's on right now.
Very straightforward, hockeyregina.ca. You'll see a great big registration button there, and then all the information is there. For in terms of evaluations, you know, we'll have all that information flowing through our team linked apps. In mid, late August, early September, depending when your age division starts.
And registration open only now till next Wednesday for Hockey Regina. And I think high school students who plan on playing football, I believe a lot of the high schools are already mixing it up, getting ready for football season here too. So just it's getting busy already. And these next few weeks in preparation for school are really, really challenging, too. The Saskatchewan Roughriders, they're getting back to business today. They'll be on the practice field getting ready for the Stamps on the weekend. I loved hearing it on the Green Zone Monday. TSN's Milt Stegall popped by. He was asked how he might deal with the possibility. Now, it's just a possibility. We're 8-1, but we're thinking Grey Cup in the back of our heads. I know. What would Milt think about that?
It won't be pretty. It won't be pretty. The blue skies in Winnipeg may turn to green. That would be something to see if that happens. And they keep playing the way they're playing right now. There's a chance that can happen. I mean, I know we're only halfway through the season, but they continue this up and Trevor Harris stays healthy. They got a chance to accomplish that.
Boy, do they ever. Not to get too far ahead of it, though, Milt went on to say he's pretty impressed by the Riders.
I mean, everyone has to be impressed because they're doing it on both sides of the ball. I mean, I think everyone knew as long as Trevor Harris was their quarterback, they were going to be good offensively. But I think there were some questions about that defense, but what they've done, especially the last two games, not giving up a touchdown and the way they controlled the line of scrimmage with, you know, Micah Johnson, we call him Debo, from the 1995 Friday movie, Debo and the boys, to what they're doing on the defense. I mean, it's something special to see. You know, you want them to continue that. And even if you're not a Rough Rider fan, it's good to see. It's good to see a team that dominates like that and doing it week in and week out. So I'm not surprised what they're doing on offense. What they've been able to do on defense has definitely been a surprise to me.
I think everyone's impressed by that defense. 8-1. That start aside, Milt did think, though, the Riders need to find someone to push Brett Lawther in practice, so that'll be interesting in the coming days, too. He missed three field goals against Hamilton, so that's a bit of a talker, too, in Riderville. Shake the Lake coming up at the Conexus Arts Center this weekend. Friday night, Helix, Finger 11, Default. Saturday, the King Stamps. Stampeders, rather. Trooper and the Headstones. Hey, yeah, ironically, yeah, the Stampeders, Riders this weekend. Stampeders are in town. Neil Donnelly over the Conexus Arts Center has assured me that my buddy Dallas Smith from Default, also a country superstar, is going to pop by the show and be a part of it on Thursday morning in advance of coming to Regina on Friday. And if Evan Bray away this week, but look at this, one of my old radio heroes. I wanted to be just like this next man, and sure as heck, I turned out almost as good. Brad Lux, welcome, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. What, you were 10, I was 40?
I would not give our ages away like that, by no means. So how about, you know, you're kind of retired. You work in and out of us, but at the same time, you love to travel. Had you booked anything with Air Canada, and were you cursing them, but now thankful that it's pretty much looks like it might be over?
Yeah, I dodged that bullet. We went to Europe for a month in July and flew Air Canada going over, and I actually had one of the stewardesses tell me the story after we had a three-hour ground hold in Toronto, and she says, yeah, we don't get paid for this. And I said, what? And she says, yeah, we don't get paid till wheels are up. Now, you know, you might look at that and think, well, that sucks for them. But remember, this is an agreement they signed 10 years ago. They've been living like this for 10 years, but it was part of the issue. But the good news is for all those people who have been stuck, and I imagine a lot of people are stuck, it's hopefully going to get slowly back to normal starting later today, this evening.
Yeah, it was kind of a shocker to come in this morning. No, it's still on. And then, you know, minutes later, we learned that, no, the mediator must have helped. But it's interesting what you noted there about what you were told while you were in Europe. I was in Calgary over the weekend at Country Thunder there with some friends. And one of the flight attendants from WestJet was actually working the bar behind the stage where we were sitting there. And she was saying, as WestJet employees, same thing is going to be happening in December. Their contract is up, and they were watching this one closely, too. And a little more leverage there, the Christmas thing, I would think, if it gets to that. But
do you blame WestJet and other airlines when there's a strike by one airline and all of a sudden their rates go way up? Is that bad? You know,
well, let's face it.
As a business, you know, they're going to want to make money.
Totally. It's disgraceful to think that, you know, a $300 ticket is now like $1,200 or $1,400, as some were experiencing last weekend. But at the same time, that's just business. And again, I dropped off friends yesterday at the Calgary airport, and WestJet lineup, it was chaos. And when they see lines like, you know, because everyone was trying to get a flight because there was nothing further down the building, yeah, that's just an ugly side of the business. I don't really blame WestJet. I wish they wouldn't do it, but what do you think?
I agree. It's business. It's the cost of doing business. And, you know, you can't blame any business operator for seeing an opportunity to make some extra money. It sucks if you're the person caught in it, the consumer. But at the end of the day, that's just how the system works. It's interesting sitting here this morning compared to yesterday morning. 24 hours ago, we were wondering, oh, man, how long is this strike going to go on? We were wondering, is anything good going to come out of the Trump meetings in Washington, and what's going to happen in Alberta with the by-election? And we sit here this morning and things look pretty interesting in all those areas, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, and with that by-election, Pierre Poilievre won by 80% of the vote. And I know you're going to follow up on that too with Andrew Scheer, who's been kind of stepping in for the Conservatives until today, right?
Well, yeah, I guess in a way, Pierre Poilievre is going to put Andrew Scheer out of work, because Andrew Scheer has been the temporary House leader in the House of Commons for the Conservatives. Of course, the next thing is there will be a leadership, what do they call it, like a vote. It's not so
yeah,
they, a vote.
To confirm whether or not, yeah.
Coming up in January, but I think with him getting 80% of the votes in that election yesterday, anybody that thought that, you know, Bonnie Critchley, the independent, was getting all this media hype prior to this, she only got 9% of the vote. So a shoe-in for Pierre Poilievre. And now the next question will be, they'll get his leadership confirmed, I'm guessing, in January. And then everybody's going to say, so when's the next federal election?
Well, he said about 2 years. I heard him on the Evan Bray Show last Friday, wasn't it? And he said, or last week, I think it was 2 years he felt the next election would come along. Hey, I only got about 30 seconds more, but I noticed all our construction on Dewdney there between Albert and Broad. It's coming together. I see new landscaping. The sidewalks are wider. Streets are a little more narrow. You're going to talk city construction. I just want to know if that project will be on time and done by the end of October. Could you ask that for me today, Brent?
Curtis Doney will be here, the deputy city manager for Regina, 10:30. And boy, even yesterday, sitting in for Evan Bray, I was struck by the number of rather snarky texts from Regina listeners who were complaining about these projects and how long they're taking. One fellow said he just got back from a visit to Kelowna, and he couldn't get over how quickly they had some similar work done out there. Why is it taking so long for some of these projects in Regina? We'll get an assessment from Curtis Doney coming up just after 10:30.
Awesome. Brent, we'll be tuning in at 8:30. Thank you so much for the update.
Thanks, Greg.